Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Mark, chapter 4. Mark, chapter 4. I'm going to read for us verses 21 to 34. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet, when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. Let's pray. Father, we ask you that you would take this truth that is here in this passage and that you would drive it home into our hearts. And we know very well that unless you do that, we remain in the dark. We know that you alone can give light, but your word, Father, brings the light. And we ask you that there will be many here who have ears to hear and eyes to see. Amen. We've been going through the book of Mark, and last week Bob gave a great message on the parable of the sower. And if you missed that, I encourage you to get the tape, and I hope you take notes. Notes are very important. I've been taking notes since I had to be 9 years old of people's sermons, and I've heard more sermons than probably most of you in this room. So, and I still take notes. So I encourage you to take notes. It's a very helpful way of listening, if nothing else. And Bob made it clear from the scripture last week that this parable that Jesus told of the sower, as we call it, was the basic one from which all the other parables are really to be understood and from which they flow. That is, that there must be a change of heart that God himself brings about in order for us to have a life with God, in order for us to really see the kingdom of God and see the meaning of all of God's declaration to us. There has to be an opening of our eyes. And there are many ways in which we harden our hearts to hear the Word of God. But all of them have the same result, that there is no life born in us. So this passage that we have here before us really is a continuation of this same theme, or a living out of, a working out of what it means that there is good soil. That is, there is a response, a God-given response to the Word of God. And these three parables that we have here really do fit together in a very powerful way, I believe. And I'd like for us to look at them. This first parable about something that was hidden, the lamp that was hidden, is, he's saying nothing, a lamp is not to be hidden, it's to be put upon a lampstand. It's to show, to make light. And nothing that is hidden is going to stay that way. God hides the truth so that he might later expose it. He hid the truth in the Old Testament so that he could reveal it in the New. And what God has hidden from people in the form of the gospel, he wants to bring it into the open. And so we have in the declaration of the good news of Jesus Christ, the exposure of God's truth to humanity. He does not intend for it to remain hidden. And although we may have passed through a time in our life when the gospel made no sense to us, when it seemed obscure and made no impact at all upon our lives, it is the intent of God that it does become open and clear to us. And if we are still in the place where the gospel is hidden, that is, all this about God's word and the life of Christ really makes no impact upon us, then we are in that position of being people who are hard in heart. And God's intention is that through the hearing of the word of God, that hardness be broken up. If we are content in having the Word of God be confusing to us, then we are giving proof that we are under the judgment of God. It is not an acceptable position to be in a state of confusion. There are not three classes of people: those people who are hungry for God, those people who are the enemies of God, and then those in between are sort of confused. That position doesn't exist. Being in a place of confusion where you don't understand the importance of this book and of God's life in you is to be in a position of having a hardened heart. You are content to be confused because you do not want to know the truth. You like to be confused. I've been there. I know what that's like. We want this to be complicated. We want the Bible to be filled with all kinds of very difficult things that, you know, only very few people who've been to seminary and studied all their life can understand. But we're not like that. We're just simple, ordinary people. You know, we can't understand all this stuff. So we like the fact that it's confusing. That's our trust. We're really trusting in the confusion. But this book says, and the parable that Jesus says here, is that to be in a state of confusion is not where God intends to leave you. And you better not be left there. That what was hidden from you, he wants to make plain. And so if it's not made plain, it's your fault. If you still are continuing to live your life and being unable to understand what God wants of you, and so you just sort of live your life on your own because you really don't know how to do this thing, you know, the Christian life, it's because you have put your head in the sand. You want to remain in the darkness. And the tragic truth is that you will get your wish, according to the Word of God, and you will die in darkness, you will die in your confusion, and you will be forever separated from the light that is, you will be forever separated from God. Oh no, make no mistake that what God has hidden, he intends to expose in your life as well and in your heart so that you can understand. So stop using the excuse that it's too difficult to understand. That is a lie from the pit of hell that we like to believe. No. What's hidden, God intends to expose. Believe that. Approach God on that basis. Tell God, I am still in the darkness. I know you don't want me to be in the darkness, and I don't need to be in the darkness, but I'm confused. I want to be out of the darkness. I want to see the light. Bring the lamp of the truth into my life. And that's God's intent. He will do that. And so Jesus then goes on to say, he says, consider carefully what you hear. He says, you see, you are hearing a lot. Think about it. Don't just let it go in one ear and out the other. Okay, I've gone to church and, you know, it was nice while we were there, but now I've got to go on with my life. Consider, think, ponder it, chew it over again, meditate on it, take it into your life. Because he says, if you do that, what you have, and if you consider that and you use it, that is, you are able to give it away, you are able to communicate it to others, you are able to take what you have received and put it into practice in your life, then you will be given more. Light begets light. Live up to the light that you've received. Don't focus upon what you don't understand. Focus upon what you do understand. And you will get more. I was in a cave a few times in my life. Scared to death in Arkansas. I went spelunking with some guys, and we went into a cave, and I'm claustrophobic, and it was a bad place for me to go. You know, we had little carbide lamps on our head. You know, you put carbide in there with water, and you light them, and we were in this muddy old cave, and I was scared to death because I can't stand being enclosed in small spaces like that. But, you know, I had to act like I was, you know, a tough guy and I could do it. But anyway, we're in this cave. And the light goes out and it's extreme dark. If I was in that cave, fortunately this didn't happen to me, but if I were in that cave and the dark and it went completely dark and the carbide lamps went out and there was absolutely no darkness except a little tiny pinhole of light somewhere, what do you think I would do? Say, oh man, that's just a little tiny pinhole of light. It's not worth it. I'm not bothered with that thing. I need a big hole. No, what you would do and what I would do would be go for the light, right? If you know you're in the darkness and you got a tiny little glimmer of light, you go for it. If you know that you're in the darkness and you're confused, but you got some light, you have some understanding of the truth of the Word of God, then you go for that. You meditate on that. You delve into that. You give thanks to God for that. You talk about that. You meditate on that. You investigate that. And the light will grow. To those who have, more will be given. But the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. You refuse to live according to the light that you have, but keep using the excuse that you don't understand everything and therefore you can't take a step. Then that little understanding that you have may be taken from you, and you will be in deeper darkness, in deeper confusion than you ever were before. Because you are counting as nothing the revelation of God. You are shutting your eyes to the truth that you have, and therefore you enter more deeply into darkness. And your heart gets even harder than it was before. I've seen this happen to people. And they follow after total lies. Because they're unable to live according to the truth. They're unwilling to live according to the truth that they have. No. The work of God is to cause us to grow in understanding. And he will give us deeper understanding as we live up to submit ourselves, obey the truth that we have. There's no excuse for any of us here for not making progress in the truth that God has revealed. But then Jesus says something that is comforting to us. He says, the work of growth is not really your work at all. It is not something that you, by your sheer willpower, or by your energy or intelligence, make happen in you. It is the work of God. It's the farmer going out and planting the seed. He goes to sleep. He doesn't know how it happens. Now, we know today more how it happens than they did then, you know. But still, we don't know how life is born. But they planted and they saw this stuff growing. And it was a mystery to them. They knew that if the sun came and the soil was healthy and the water came, the rains came, that seed would burst into life. And it was all the work of God. And so also it is in our life. We don't know. We can't figure it out how God's way with us is. But he has promised us that if we follow his way, if we read his word, we take it, we seek to put it into practice, we pray, we express our dependence upon him, we are thankful, we are in loving relationships and seeking to grow in love, that somehow the Spirit of God works in us to cause us to grow up to maturity. It's something that he does. It's his business. It's not something that we are achieving on our own. It's the work of God. He will cause it to happen. This is great comfort for us because we say, look, as far as I know, I've seen the truth about Jesus. I've seen my darkness. I've seen the light in Christ. And by God's grace, you know, I'm seeking to follow him. I'm seeking to grow up into Christ. Good news, he's causing you to grow. You may not be able to measure it. You may not be able to see it. But God is the one who brings forth the life and the growth. He's doing it. You are God's planting. You are not a wannabe trying to make yourself into something that you're really not. It's God who has planted you. It's God who's given birth to life in you. It's God who's causing the nourishment for your soul to make a difference in your life. Take heart. He who began a good work in you will complete it. He's going to do it. You don't know how, but he knows how. And that's all you need to know. This is the rest in the Lord, the Sabbath rest. This is what it is to say, I am hungering and thirsting after God, and I want to hunger and thirst more. I want to consider what I hear, I want to put it into my life, and therefore God, by his grace, is causing me to grow up to maturity. You're going to get there because God's going to make it happen.
And so the parable here then of the kingdom of God like a mustard seed, the smallest of all garden seeds, he says, that becomes the biggest bush, biggest tree in the garden, so big that birds can land in it and all that. Now this is true for each one of us as a child of God, that God's kingdom in our life is expanding. Growth is taking place. And that's one of the signs that we're really alive in Christ. If we are the same as we were 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, where's the evidence of life? Where is the hungering and thirsting for righteousness? Where is an understanding, a greater understanding of the depth of our own depravity, of our own need of salvation? Where is a greater appreciation of the death of Christ? Where is the appreciation of what we are called to do as being servants of one another, servants of God, laying down our lives for one another, living not for this moment and for this world, but with our eyes focused on eternity? Where is the sense of wanting to see the kingdom of God expand in other people's lives and around the world? Where is that growth? God will make his children grow. Are you and I, are we growing in Christ? Or are we stagnant? We are satisfied. We are just now going through the motions. We have achieved a certain stability in our life and a certain level of spirituality, as we call it. And we're okay. We're content with that now. Things are in place. We got all of our ducks in a row and things are going nicely for us. Where is the expansion of the kingdom of God in our lives? The individual before God is God's planting, and there is no stopping in growth until we take our last breath. And then the growth is completed instantaneously. But until that moment, the kingdom of God must be expanding in us, in the children of God. We are never to rest on our past. But the kingdom of God is also expanding in the world. God is on the move. And we have more access to that information than any other generation in history. Nobody has been able to see how God's moving like we have today. 1,000 years ago, they didn't even know that there was a North and South America. They had no concept. The means of communication were so slow, they didn't have any idea what was happening in other places of the world. Not like we do. Now we know instantaneously. We can email or fax people on the other side of the world instantaneously, know what's going on. What they preached on this morning in China. And what the response was. We know that like that. The kingdom of God is on the move. He is expanding his kingdom, and it will expand to fill the earth. And there is no comparison. The kingdom of this world cannot compare with the kingdom of God. In the early centuries of the church, the country that we call Turkey, that they called Asia Minor, was really where it was happening in the church. That was the center of the church of Jesus Christ. There you have Galatia was there. You had John was there. The apostle Paul had his missionary journeys there. It was the dynamic center of the Christian church. 1,000 years later, it was overrun and dominated by the Muslims. And Christianity came to a screeching halt. In Turkey. Was the kingdom of God expanding? Yeah. It wasn't necessarily expanding in Turkey, but it was expanding in the rest of Europe. And God was sending it out from Turkey into other parts of the world. And it took root there. And the kingdom of God continued to expand. And now, here we are, 800 years later or so, and the kingdom of God has gone back into Turkey, and there are Christians in Turkey, and the church is expanding in Turkey once again. But my point is this, that where the kingdom of God seems to be shrinking, it's growing and expanding elsewhere. The kingdom of God appears to be stalemated or shrinking in this country, the United States of America. But it is expanding big time in Asia, Africa, South America. The kingdom of God is not limited to what happens in this country. In fact, I am concerned for the next generation, and I've said this to my children, maybe I've said it to you too. We must understand that living under a Republican democracy, or a republic and a democracy, is not the normal condition of humanity. And the kingdom of God will continue to expand if the United States becomes a dictatorship of a few in the next 2 years. If that were to happen. If we were to be overrun and become a dictatorship of some foreign government or of somebody within our own nation, the kingdom of God would continue to expand. Maybe it would expand even greater here in this country than it has up to now in the last 50 years. But the kingdom of God is not going to be thwarted by whatever happens in this country. Our hope and our dependency must not be upon this particular form of government. Our confidence is not in kings and horses. Our confidence is in the Lord God Himself. We must be people who see ourselves as pilgrims. And we happen, by God's grace and by His purpose, put us into this particular nation for this time in history. But we are people who are to have a vision of the world. We are to be world Christians in that sense, to see the kingdom of God is far greater than the Bronx or New York City or New York State or the United States of America or North America. It is the whole world. And we are to be people who have that vision for the expansion of God's kingdom everywhere. And so the call to missions, the call to support missions, to pray for missions, to go on missions as an expansion of the kingdom of God. Is the truth still hidden to you? Are you still confused and in the dark? You need to recognize that you're in the dark and look for the pinpoint of light, because a pinpoint of light is being directed at your heart right now. Will you go for it or say, I'm expecting something bigger? Go for the truth that you have, and God will give you more. To whom? To the one who has, more will be given. Do you realize that having you accepted the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and having a confidence, a growing confidence that you belong to Him, don't be discouraged. God knows how to grow you up to maturity. I remember when I was 20 years old, I was so messed up, more than you all could possibly know. So confused, messed up. Not understanding how I could ever live a Christian life. Because I didn't understand or believe the simple truth that God is able and He is willing and He will do it. He will grow you up to maturity in Christ. Use the means, the nourishment that He gives, and He will make it happen, even though you don't understand it. And then take joy in the fact that His kingdom is expanding in your life, in every area of your life, for your whole life, and that you, therefore, are part of a universal expansion of the kingdom of God when the Lord of glory is revealed in all of His power and might. The glorious God is expanding the kingdom of His Son, and nothing can stop it. The commentators I heard this week, and politicians, in reflecting on the acquittal of the president, are pointing the finger at the demise and the irrelevancy of the Christian right, gloating over the fact that they believe that the sun is setting upon fundamentalist Christians who believe the Bible to be the truth, the Word of God. And they may gloat. Let them have their day. My battle is not with them. I'm not trying to maintain democracy, Republican democracy. That's not my goal in life. My goal is the kingdom of God expanding throughout the whole world. And that they cannot touch. That is irreversible. God is going to make it happen regardless of what happens here in this country. And we need to be people whose faith and confidence, regardless of what happens in the year 2000, the Y2K problem and all that stuff, whatever happens, it doesn't matter. We are people who have a vision of the future, who are part of something far grander and greater than we can imagine, and God's kingdom will come. And He will fill the earth with His glory. Take heart. Don't let your heart be troubled. He's working in you to glorify His Son, and He's working through the church
of Jesus Christ to glorify his Son, and nothing will stop God himself. He is committed. He is radically committed to that exaltation of his Son. And it will happen. Let's pray. We ask you, O God of heaven, that those here who are in darkness, and I know there are some, will take the little gleam of light that they have received, confirm it, affirm it, testify to it, thank you for it, hunger and thirst for more, have their eyes focused upon that truth, that they would be those who take it and consider it and so long for more light, and that you will give it to them. Lord, I know you did for me. You will do for them. And Lord, that those who are your children who have discouraged with their lives and the lack of progress they think and the difficulty of growing up to maturity apparently, that you will encourage each one of us, O God, as we see the paltry way in which we live out that to which you've called us to be and do, the poor way which we reflect your glory, that we will not lose heart, that you will be glorified in your church, you will be glorified in your people, that you will work in us individually to bring us to maturity in Christ, a long process though it may be. Lord, you have said that you know how to do it. You know how to grow us up. You're a good father. You know how to do it. Do it in us, O Lord, as we eat at your table, as we talk to you day by day, as we hear your word, as we receive your correction, your instruction, you will grow us up in Christ Jesus. And Lord, for that glorious day when your Son is revealed as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and the nations are shown to be but a drop in the bucket, and you are the one who is exalted over all, and you have the last laugh, Lord, for that day to come, we thank you that we can be confident that that is on the horizon and that the nations will fall. But you, Lord Jesus, will be exalted on your throne forever and ever and ever. And we, who are privileged by your grace to be part of your bride, look forward to that day when we are with you, the God who is the happy God, the God who delights in his people, the God who delights in himself. We will be with you forever with ecstasy beyond comprehension. And we say, Maranatha, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.